The American church, not just the Baptist church, the American church is far from what God wants it to be today. About 60 some years ago, what was known as the American church entered politics. The moral majority, the Christian right, and the growth movement, so popular in most of the church denominations, replaced the simple church of the Pilgrims and the Puritans that believed in the teachings of the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Believe in the teachings of this book, the Holy Bible. This present generation, it's easy to blame them. It's easy to blame them. I get real upset with young people anymore, but that's because I'm ancient. But no, seriously, this present generation is caught up into a new approach to truth. Books and preaching, teaching and philosophizing, psychiatry and self-evaluation emphasize the various paths available for you and I to reach up to our highest potential. And they have abandoned the fact that the God of creation came down to save his own image. You see, it's not about us going up. It's about God coming down.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
That's a wonderful truth. God came down to save his own image from destruction and hell. That is why Christianity is not a religion. According to the book, it is the only way to God.
Right.
Not a religion. There's plenty of religion. When Jesus Christ came, there was plenty of religion. So, there goes the quote so often used in Vacation Bible School for our youngsters today, and it seemed to have lost a lot of its meaning because of all this other stuff. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, and whosoever joins the Baptist church, and whosoever gets baptized, that's whoever believes in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Has eternal life.
Amen.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk this morning about faith. Faith. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The very first verse. I just want you to think about what the very first verse says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want to emphasize that. It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Show me Jesus. I can't. But the Bible says I ought to be able to. Are you a Christian? You ought to be able to show Jesus. Why? Because the Bible says If you confess your sin, repent of it, turn from it, do your very best to be what God wants you to be, you'll be more and more and more like Him as you mature. As you grow.
Amen.
It's not easy to be a Christian. That's why so many people don't want to mess with it. You have to say to yourself, God, I need help.
Amen.
I just can't handle it. I just can't do it. I can't face it. I can't conquer it. I can't overcome it. And you know what God says? I take care of it for you. If you trust me. You would just say to me, God, help me. No one comes to me that I turn away. God said, I loved you while you were yet a sinner. Now, I have a testimony of that about being 28 years old. Aaron, how old were you? 34. So it didn't happen to anybody. Even a jerk like me. Yeah, that's right. You guys know me. Hopefully, over the years, I've become a little more like Jesus. Only time will tell. But that's faith. Faith in what God says. The great English preacher, Charles Hayden Spurgeon, writes these words. These words were written in the late 1850s and 60s when Spurgeon was warning England the exact same thing that's happening to America today would happen to them, and it did. It did. Listen what he said. Out of the rough oyster shell of difficulty, faith extracts the rare pearl of honor. From the deep ocean caves of distress, faith uplifts the priceless coral of experience. When the flood of prosperity ebbs, faith finds treasures hidden in the sand. And when the Son of Delight goes down, faith turns the telescope of hope toward the promises of heaven. Faith. Faith. You know, waiting beyond the grave and thus making our dying the beginning, not the end. That's what Christianity is all about. The beginning, the real beginning of life. The real beginning. Acts chapter 14, beginning of the 19th verse. See, the Word of God is so much better for us than anything I might say. Paul had just recovered from a stoning. Listen to what he said. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith and that we must go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. Don't think when you become a Christian, life is going to be easier.
Amen.
God never said that. Matter of fact, he tells us just the opposite. And all we have to do is see how Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was treated when he came to realize that. If you trust Jesus today, if you're here today and you never have trusted Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean you're never going to get cancer. Doesn't mean you'll make it home today. That's not what it's about. It's about honoring God, who loves us and came and died that we might live.
Amen.
111 years ago, as the 20th century dawned on a troubled world, Charles A. Tingley wrote the words to this old hymn. This is the song of the believer that lives by faith. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land, but he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of stuff going on in this world today we don't understand, can't comprehend. After our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand by God. Temptations, hidden snares, often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better. Bye.
Amen.
How many can raise their hands? Sure. Sure. Come on down front and everything will be fine. Just talk to the preacher. A little more to it than that, isn't there? Just 9 years later, after he wrote the song, just 9 years later, what was known as the First World War began a century of bloody conflicts. World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Iraq, ISIS. Still continuing, amen?
Right.
100 years, more than 50 spent fighting war. Listen now to Jesus' words found in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel. Chapter 13. Wait till the shuffle stops. Beginning with verse 1. And he, Jesus, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all of these things shall be fulfilled?" Now I want you to listen. When's all this going to happen? When's all this going to happen? And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. But take heed to yourself, for they shall deliver you up to the councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. And when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, the father to the son, the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. Ye shall be hated for men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where he ought not, let him that readeth understand, let them also that be in Judea flee to the mountains." Aren't you glad we're in the Daniel study? Now then, brother, hello? Aren't you glad we're in the Daniel study now? That's really our help, isn't it, this time in which we're living. "And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment, but woe unto them that have child, and to them that give suck in those days, and pray that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall the affliction such as was not from the beginning." Now remember the flood? That was pretty bad. Wasn't it? Eight people came out of that. That's what he said. You know, the problem is going to be when these things happen. We're not going to come out of it. We're going to suffer through it. That's right. You suppose that's near?
Yes, sir.
Might be. Don't know. Might be another 1,000 years. Question isn't when. It's are you ready? Amen. That's the question. Men like to argue over when. Post-tribulation, mid-tribulation. Immaterial if you're not ready.
That's right.
Jesus is telling us here, except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, the church is made up of the elect, the real church.
That's right.
But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, whom God hath chosen. You didn't choose God.
That's right.
God chose you.
That's right.
He chooses you by allowing you to realize the truth. It's all about faith, not works.
That's right.
Not what you do. Not that you went forward, not that you tithe, not that I preach. It's all about God. "And then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'Lo, he is here,' believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders, seduce it where possible, even the very elect." Just because you are saved doesn't mean you don't need to be very careful about who you listen to and who you believe. Ye, behold, I have foretold you all things. Don't be surprised when it happens. I'm telling you. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. We talked about that last week. That's what we should be seeking, you and I. The second coming of Jesus Christ. All the armies in the world will not make it happen. NATO, United Nations, no. We need to send missionaries everywhere, but it's still going to happen. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know it is nigh, even at the doors. Preacher, you say, why are you preaching a message like this with the joyous Easter season just ahead of us? That, beloved, is the very reason I'm preaching it. It is the Easter season, and the Easter season alone, that stands out in its glorious message of death and resurrection. It explains the words of Spurgeon and of the hymn I read just a while back. That, beloved, is why the child of God, in the midst of the chaos and tragedy, the wars of sin, the age of misguided politicians and evil imaginations, so many of those things that are prevalent today, so many of those things that are prevalent today, that is the very reason why God's people can get up every single morning and proclaim before a lost and dying world, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in today. It may be all we have. I don't think so. But think about it. Today, you never made a decision for Jesus Christ, and God is speaking to your heart today. Make it today. You may not have tomorrow. I may not make it home today. All right. Something to think about. No, I don't. And I cannot understand it all, but I will by and by. I will by and by. That's true scriptural faith, beloved. That's true scriptural faith. Today I have eternal life. Today the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Today I can talk to my Heavenly Father. Today I can read the promises I find in His book. And today I can fellowship with my brothers and sisters. Yes, today I can worship my Savior freely. I can sing praises to my Creator. I can claim my spiritual birth as the actual transformation of my life of sin to that as a child of God. Today I can do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what. This is all because of Jesus Christ on that Sunday morning, so long ago, walked out of the tomb. That's Easter. That's what Easter is all about. I can do all these things today because of that. Yes, my friend, all those things that Jesus foretold in our Mark text this morning are happening and will continue to happen until he returns. But just as the old hymn informs us, someday we're going to understand it. I don't understand it today. But by faith, I believe what Jesus told us. Then, as Spurgeon writes, that rare pearl of honor, that priceless coral of experience, that hidden treasure, and the hope of faith and the light of the resurrection will reveal what God has planned for his people before the foundation of the world. It's all in God's plan. It's all in God's plan. The morning will have come, and we, you and I, who are believers, will understand it all. If you haven't received this truth, if you haven't believed this truth, I urge you to do it today. Because on that Easter morning, so many years ago, the tomb was empty. That lost world out there desperately needs to hear the good news. That's what our missions offering is all about this morning. Jesus Christ is coming again. If you are ready for his coming, you owe it to others to make sure they're ready as well. You owe it to them. It's your debt to the lost. If you aren't, I hope and pray you will, because after Jesus comes, it's too late. After God's kingdom has come on earth, I hope Jesus doesn't say, as the bridegroom said to the foolish virgins, without oil in their lamps, I never knew you. I don't know you. I don't see your neighbor written down in the book. Won't you come join us together as we seek the coming kingdom of God to this earth and the peace and goodwill that the Christmas angels sang becomes a reality, just as God's holy word promises it will. Thy kingdom come, Jesus told the disciples to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be our prayer. Jesus is going to bring it in. You see, my friends, we do not need to understand it all. You and I don't need to understand it all. What we do need to do is believe it all. That, of course, is faith. By grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift